south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, I've been doing this show, I think, 8 years now. And of course, I get lots of emails. But you know, some emails you remember, and others just fly right by, and you forget about them 2 seconds later. But there's one in particular I remember. I think it was after the fifth show that I'd done. Some guy wrote me and said, you know, it's all well and good that you talk about Latin America, living, playing, doing business, etc. But what are you going to do, Johnny, when you run out of topics? Well, I don't know if that guy's still listening to the show or not, but as Jimmy Durante, the old Broadway schnoz, used to say, I got a million of them. And if you remember Jimmy Durante, then, well, you're probably homebound and on a respirator. Hey, all the more reason to come down to Latin America, because if you are homebound and on a respirator, it's probably costing you upwards of $50,000 a year for the visiting nurses to come in. Or maybe if you're not paying for it, Medicaid or Medicare. You know, that's my plan. When I'm so old and out of it that I can't think straight or make it up the stairs anymore on my own, I'm going to hire a full-time live-in nurse. And you know what that's going to set me back? Probably around $400 to $500 a month, and she'll double as a cleaning lady, cook, Girl Friday, market shopper, the works. And surprisingly enough, you'll get none of that attitude either. You know, well, I might take the job. What about time off and vacations? What's the pay? How much is overtime? Do I get insurance? How about maternity leave? Now, you know, if I take the job, there's certain things I won't do, like windows, toilets, and ironing. You have to remember that this is Latin America, and employees don't make demands. But of course, you have to treat them right and treat them with respect, and they'll do the same for you. Which is why the locals love working for gringos. But you knew that already, right? Did a whole show on that a while back, so go back and check it out. Oh yeah, and people ask me on the sly all the time, Johnny, if I have a live-in nurse or a maid, is there anything wrong with hiring a good-looking one? My answer, I say, well, you can, but do so at your own risk. You're asking for a poop load of trouble. In fact, I'll never forget the time I just built a house in a really nice subdivision. And this will happen to you. Word gets out that the gringo's moving in, or anybody's moving in, and suddenly people start showing up at your door, asking if you need help. You know, prospective maids, gardeners, looking for a job. Now, this was in a nice gated, guarded community, and people knocking at my door weren't people off the street, because you can't get past the guard without a reason. But since word was out that the new gringo was moving in, a couple of the cleaning ladies and maintenance guys working at the houses nearby, well, they all had a sister, brother, cousin, wife, husband, whatever, that needed a job. And so they'd come through the front gate because they had permission. They were working at one of the houses, and they'd bring another person along with them. And the guard would ask, who you got with you? And make them sign in. And the legit worker would say, oh, it's my cousin, aunt, whatever, going to the new gringo's house for a job interview. Nothing wrong with that. Happens all the time. Anyway, I'll never forget. The first week I moved in, there must have been 10 people knocking on my door looking for a job. And one of them, no, two of them, were young, sexy little girls that couldn't have been more than 16 or 18 years old. All made up, false eyelashes, high heels and all. Applying for that cleaning lady job. Yeah, right. Lots of hidden dangers in doing that, so it's not recommended. However, single men, that is, single gringos, even normally very smart gringos, when confronted with that situation, can't let the wrong part of their brain get the best of them. As is what happened to my very wealthy friend who moved to Costa Rica and built himself a nice big mansion. You might remember that story. I told it probably 3-4 years ago. He had to hire a cleaning lady and, in fact, two gardeners because his property was so big. And he ended up hiring a beautiful, sexy little 18-year-old cleaning lady who, in effect, by getting that job, had won the lottery because she ended up marrying the guy and having his kid. And my buddy, at first, as happy as a pig in poop, only to find out a year or two later, she had another kid in the wings she never even told him about. And that one of the gardeners he hired, who she recommended, was the kid's dad. Now, I gotta tell you, after finding that out, he was a much better man than me. Under those circumstances, I'd have blown a gasket. All hell would have broke loose for sure. Maybe I'd have ended up in jail. But in the end, When you think about it, he's got no one to blame except himself. So, by all means, hire a cleaning lady, but hire the matronly, motherly type. Do that, you almost can't go wrong. And here's another tip. Don't hire a cleaning lady or maid that's from the neighborhood. Make sure she lives far enough away that she has to take a chicken bus in. Same thing goes for your maintenance men and gardeners. You can see the logic in it. When you consider that most of the robberies and thefts that go on in Latin America can be traced directly back to your hired help. And those employees that are the worst and sneakiest of all, bodyguards. Another reason, no matter how much dough you have, you never want to get one of those. Anyway, if in your hiring plan, the person or persons working for you have to come from quite a distance, at least take a chicken bus in, then they're really not connected with the other people in the area. They're not in the local grapevine. So then there's little or no temptation to partner up with neighborhood bad boys and no good nicks. You know what they say, boys will be boys, but when they don't have friends around to scheme with, there's little temptation to steal or get other ideas. In fact, when I was living in another gated guarded complex, the homeowners or condo owners' rules within that complex stated precisely that they wouldn't hire guards nor gardeners for the complex that lived within 5 kilometers of the subdivision. That, again, was for security reasons and a very good idea because, let's say you hire a chapeador, that's a guy with a machete who takes care of the gardening and weed control, and he's from a nearby neighborhood. Of course, he wouldn't be living in that subdivision. He'd be living slightly outside in one of the little pueblos. You got to know that the cleaning ladies and maintenance guys will gossip. In time, they'll know everything about you, your routine, and everything you have. You can't stop them from gossiping at the dinner table, local watering hole, or taco palace. But if they live quite a ways away from you in another pueblo, what they talk about won't hurt you. And it won't give Cousin Pepe, the bad boy in your cleaning lady's family, and his mischief-making buddies with the neck tattoos any ideas. Why? Logistics. They live way too far away to do anything about it. That said, any place in Latin America you'll find a really nice first-world subdivision, there'll be a scruffy little beat-up pueblo nearby. Those little towns and pueblos are where your help is going to come from. So, my suggestion based on lots of experience, just try to work it out so your gardener, maintenance guy, and cleaning lady don't come from a pueblo that's too close by. That's why the condo subdivision homeowner rules said they weren't to hire a maintenance worker or gardener that lived within 5 kilometers of the subdivision. I know what you're thinking. That's discrimination. You could never have a rule like that written up by a condo association in the States. That'd be an invitation to a lawsuit. Welcome to Latin America. You gotta love it, huh? Speaking of classism, cultural bias, and discrimination, down here you'll never have a woman gardener, chapeadora, or maintenance person. Those are exclusive domains of the male. And it's the opposite for maids and cleaning ladies. You'll never see a guy, not even a gay guy, apply for a maid or cleaning lady position. And there isn't a gaggle or Google of social justice warriors in the world that can change that fact. Speaking of the G word, Google, a company I despise, you did know Google wasn't just a perverted search engine, right? It's actually a number, a mathematical term that existed well before the internet. It came into use just slightly after Carl Sagan's Billions and Billions. Because, you know, there came a time when billions and billions just wouldn't cut it anymore. Just ask those turds in the U.S. government who are keeping track of the national debt. So, Google actually is a number, formally called the Googleplex. That's 10 to the 100th power. That's a 1 with 100 zeros after it. All right, be sure to file that away in the useless information department. But I digress, as usual. So anyway, there's a good reason why you don't want to hire a cleaning lady, maintenance guy, whatever, who lives in the immediate area. And guys, especially single guys, you don't want to hire a young girl in high heels and makeup knocking at your door applying for that cleaning lady job. Bottom line, you don't want to hire a girl that's coqueta. In Spanish, that means a sexual tease. And it's best not to hire a fat or rotund cleaning lady either. Ask Bitcoin Dan. He's got one of those and says she can't go up 2 steps on a ladder. But nice guy that he is, he couldn't fire her, so he hired another cleaning lady to do what the fat one can't. Oh, and here's another hiring tip. It's not a good idea having a cleaning lady and maintenance guy who are husband and wife. Or worse yet, boyfriend and girlfriend. Why? Because then they can tag team you and cover for each other. For example, if one of them's chronically late, a non-performer, a screw-off, a drinker, or even a thief. Oh, and note that women are rarely screw-offs and drinkers. It's almost always the men. And yes, because guys need a job, their women will cover for them. Oh, and by the way, expat Eddie, who used to own a lot of sushi restaurants throughout Guatemala, El Salvador, Costa Rica, and Nicaragua, he told me about a surefire way of how he judged the honesty of certain of his employees. That includes cleaning ladies, maintenance guys, even employees at his sushi restaurants. Now, you may have heard one of the methods a lot of gringos and expats use is to just leave a little money around the house. Not a lot, you know, maybe a buck or two, or a nice deck of coins, some change. Just leave it on a counter somewhere for days, for weeks, if necessary. It's not foolproof. Some workers who do like to steal a bit know that trick so they won't bite. But there's a better test. The real test, Eddie says, was to send them out on a chore to the hardware store, pet store, supermarket, whatever. You hand them some cash, tell them what to buy, and to bring the receipt back. Here's Eddie's trick. He'd have, let's say, $21 in the local funny money, and he'd pass it to his worker without counting it. And he'd say quite clearly, here's 20 bucks. Go and buy the tortillas or tequila, whatever. So he'd say 20 bucks, but he'd give him 21. The key being he handed the guy a pile and never counted it out in front of him. Well, I think you know how that story turns out. He said slightly less than half the time the maintenance guy would palm the extra buck or two. But his cleaning ladies, he said, when given the test, almost always passed. At least 9 out of 10 did. Bottom line, it's best to hire workers who live far away, women who are homely or matronly, and if you're hiring more than one, hire workers that don't know each other. And as far as that early email asking me if I was ever going to run out of topics on the Expat Files show, well, that's like asking if McDonald's is ever going to run out of food, Kim Kardashian out of ass, and the Pope out of funny hats. In a word, I doubt it. I know that's three words, but you get the idea. Speaking of running out of show topics, that's not to say I haven't repeated myself here and there, especially when some of the same themes come up over and over again, and, as you know, things change. Though if I do repeat myself, sorry about that, but you get what you pay for, right? All right, speaking of emails, how about this one from a guy named Barely Truman? Don't think that's his real name. He said, hey, Johnny, a while back you spoke about getting Social Security or disability direct deposit payments to a Latin American bank and getting them suddenly cut off. Well, you think it's just a story that happens to others, but it happened to me. I'm one of those retired gringo guys living in Medellin, Colombia, in the district of Poblado. And yes, my U.S. Social Security payments were cut off just last month. And I had to take a trip to Bogota, the U.S. consulate there. Went up to the emergency window. It's a U.S. citizen window for U.S. citizens only. Where I was told, unless it was truly a life-shattering emergency, like, for example, a dead or deathly ill gringo, or losing or having your passport stolen. She said, barring emergencies like that, I had to go on the internet and get an appointment. Then I said, what about us old people on Social Security or disability? That's what we live on. And when you're cut off, man, you're cut off. You're saying that isn't an emergency? She says, have you gone on the internet? Have you tried to get an appointment? With that, she handed me a little card that had the website on it. Then I said, you know, I'm an old guy. I'm an internet illiterate. In fact, when me and my retired expat buddies get together for card games and to watch Monday Night Football, the subject of the internet and our ineptness at using it does come up. Sure, I can send emails, use Uber, Skype, and Waze. But don't think for a minute that me, or even most of my buddies, learned that stuff on our own. We had to have someone, usually a millennial, program that app stuff for us. The lady listened, and then she shrugged and gave me a printed notice, which I'm going to read to you in a second. Then she said, if you can't navigate the internet, get a friend or a relative to help her go to an internet cafe or a hotel business center and ask someone. They'll help you. I said, ha ha, I bet you tell that to all the internet illiterates. But I said it in a nice way. Then I said, what about my 86-year-old expat lady friend next door in a wheelchair? She doesn't even have a computer. Oh man, I can just see her scooting into an internet cafe to have the forms printed out. It's not going to happen. Then I said, what if she scooted here in this line? Would you help her? She said, of course. A physically challenged U.S. citizen in a wheelchair, we'd be obliged to help her. Then I said, all right, lady, next time I'm coming with my wheelchair and walker. Needless to say, Johnny, I was pissed. A trip to the embassy for nothing. So anyway, Johnny, I walked away from my own embassy / consulate in disgust. Are they not supposed to exist to help out Americans? Why else would these giant buildings and compounds exist? It reminds me of the old cliche, knock, knock. We're from the government. we're here to help. I think not. Their job, as I see it, is to make your and my life more, not less difficult. That goes for what's printed on this handout she gave me, too. I've attached a copy for you. Have a look at it. In a nutshell, Johnny, here's what it says. The U.S. Embassy in Colombia has announced as of February 2019 that the U.S. citizens living in Colombia and receiving Social Security retirement benefits now have to follow a new procedure to show, quote, proof of life, unquote. Then it says, according to the embassy announcement, then they've got a U.S. Embassy Colombia.gov website to click on. It says, as part of our foreign enforcement program, the Social Security Administration has recently informed us that there are over 2,000 Social Security recipients residing in Colombia getting direct deposits to local banks who have not returned the required, quote, proof of life form. Then it says, if you have not returned your proof of life form yet, please do so immediately. And note that the Social Security Administration will suspend all of your benefits if we do not receive the completed form. Then it says, if your benefits have been suspended, please visit the following link to download the proof of life form and the instructions on how to resubmit your form. Then it says, please note the U.S. Embassy in Bogota cannot receive or process the forms for beneficiaries. If you mailed your proof of life form to the U.S. Embassy in Bogota, then you have not submitted your form correctly. So how in the hell are you supposed to know that? Then it says, in order to reinstate your benefits, you must take the following actions. Complete the form SSA-7162 if you've been receiving your payments in your own name. Or complete form SSA-7161 if you're receiving benefits through a representative payee. Then it says where to send the completed form. Email a scanned PDF copy of the completed form to sjregion@socialsecurity.gov using as the subject heading FEQ-country, country where you now live, last name of the worker's record under which you received benefits. For example, if you're in Colombia, you would put FEQ-Colombia-Perez. Or you can fax it to 506-229-1032. In addition, you must mail the original completed and signed form to the Social Security Administration, Wilkes-Barre Data Operations Center, yada, yada, yada. There's a big address here. Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Then Truman says, what? A bunch of horse shit. Then it says, upon receipt, we will reinstate your benefits within 5 to 10 business days from receiving your email or fax. So that's it, Johnny. And as you can imagine, there are now 2,000 old farts like me scrambling to work this thing out. That's 2,000 very pissed off retired gringos in Colombia. Most of us have missed more than 2 months of direct deposits. They say 5 to 10 working days, but that's not right. Because it takes a month to figure out you didn't get one. Then you're going to call your bank. They're going to tell you to wait a few days. Sometimes the payments are late. You'll probably wait a week. Oh, and if you're lucky, you'll get to talk to someone at the bank who speaks English. Then you'll call your embassy. You'll get put on hold for a half an hour. You'll call back and get put on hold again. You'll finally get through, and the idiot on the line will give you another number to call, the Social Security desk. You'll call that number and get a recording that says to leave your phone number and email, and they'll get back to you. And they will in a couple of days. And on and on. Yep. We are the government, and we're here to help you. Never forget that. All right. Thanks for that, Truman. Kind of tells it all and what you have to go through in dealing with a U.S. embassy. So no comments from me. That's a first, huh? All right. Changing gears and slamming on the brakes. You've heard me spell out 101 reasons why I would not live, work, play, and or do business in Mexico. Well, I take that back. I'd play there on a nice package deal at Cancun. That's always nice for a couple of days. But to live, work, or invest there, forget about it. Now, you might say, Johnny, that's all well and good for you because you don't live there. And I hear stories and get emails from gringos and expats all the time, living in gringoized areas of Mexico, who love it there. Though you've also heard me say those gringoized places are little islands of security, surrounded by hundreds, no thousands of kilometers of chaos, crime, and corruption. Though I have to tell you, along with the emails from gringos with dough living in those gringo communities that we know are now first world expensive, I've been getting not just a trickle, but a lot of emails from people trying to live the good life in Mexico on the cheap, on just $1,000 or so a month, a regular Social Security check. But one of the problems you see is if you're going to live the low-budget lifestyle, you're not going to live in a gated, guarded, protected, gringoized community. Well, you're paying $200 a month maintenance fee for a $300,000 condo, like, for example, in San Miguel Allende, a favorite Mexican retirement destination for gringos with some dough. If you live there, you're going to need it. It's a place, you know, where even the fruits and the vegetables in the street markets are first world expensive. So then what about the tens of thousands of gringos and expats living in Mexico on the cheap? The ones not living in upscale condos in gated, guarded communities. Let's talk about people in Mexico living on $1,000 to $1,500 a month. Well, if you want to get it from the horse's mouth, you'll pay attention to this email that just came in. It's from Oaxaca Bob. He says, "Greetings, Johnny, from the Oaxacan Altiplano, just a bit north of you." He says, "As I write this, family members in the U.S. are frying in a heat wave, and it seems odd. I'm enjoying low 80s delightful weather here on my mile-high front porch in the countryside just outside the Oaxacan Mexico capital city. But sad to say, all is not well in paradise, it seems. To date, Oaxaca State has been spared the drug gang violence and the other popular pursuits of kidnapping, extortion, sex slavery, and such plaguing Mexico's borders and drug corridors. You see, Johnny, Oaxaca's off the standard drug routes and chopped up by numerous mountain ranges. In other words, it's pretty hard to get around through these areas. The thing is, Johnny, me and the wife have been living a pretty idyllic existence for the past 5 years, renting a little $125 a month country casita with good neighbors, low crime, low prices, etc. But here's a little wake-up call to show how things are changing here in otherwise peaceful Oaxaca, crime-wise, I mean. My landlord, a 60-something land developer and former Mexico City cop and border coyote, has his own dark history of crime, and knowing that guy and him being our landlord has worked well for my wife and I to date. Because of him and his reputation, people have kept their hands off us for petty crime and other minor annoyances for the most part. So far, he's been true to anything he's promised us, but it's a bit disquieting when he jokes that any serious local dispute can be resolved easily by burying his opponents 6 feet down with his beloved backhoe. He may not be joking. Here's the thing. Last week, his 30-something son happened to stop by, and I chatted him up about why he and his family were suddenly picking up and moving back to the good old USSA. Well, here's the story. Apparently, lately, his own business of buying and shipping Oxalan goods north has been interrupted by numerous truck jackings at the northern Oaxacan state border. His goods have been repeatedly stolen and his drivers kidnapped and beaten up. For him, the last straw was those threatening phone calls saying they knew where his kids went to school locally here. They knew places his wife could be kidnapped and demanded protection money regarding his trucks. Now, Johnny, I'm mentioning this because our landlord would never tell us this kind of stuff before. We're his prized gringo tenants who often pay 6 months' rent in advance and have vastly improved his property. Anyway, his son went on to tell me how a small but ruthless gang has slowly infiltrated our little town here and are extorting and outright muscling locals out of land, etc. The local mayor apparently has told the local police force not to confront them either. But to date, so far, there is no collateral damage to us hapless, happy gringo renters, but it's a bit disconcerting to see our little Shangri-La developing these cracks. Now, I've got no firm statistics, but I'd hazard a guess that this is beginning to happen countrywide in areas that to date have been untouched by organized crime and delinquency. I've been ever so amazed that the local police response to a lot of this ill behavior has been almost hands-off completely. I attribute that to a failing state overall in the terminal stages of corruption. And these days, with Mexico in general suffering a radical decline in oil production income, the future does not look rosy for Mexico. If the governmental and societal rule of law seriously takes a hit, the much-exalted gringo tourist status could fail to protect us. And such fun times as kidnappings, extortion, and robbery may begin to creep up on us from other criminal gangs besides the government one. Though at least the corrupt federal road cops here are fairly benign compared to the cops you hear about in northern Mexico. In short, Johnny, perhaps this is a good time and a wake-up call to mosey south of the border to shop for a country with better prospects. I'm thinking about a place where you get to know your neighbors, try to be as energy and food independent as possible, and perhaps, unlike Mexico, be able to bear arms for your own protection. My choice is always the delightful Altiplano. Finally, Johnny, we continue to listen to your show every week if we can and always learn something new, so keep up the good fight to liberate as many awake USSA comrades as possible, but not too many, please. We wouldn't want our rent to go up $20 a month. That would be tragic. Signed, Expat Bob, Oaxaca, Mexico. All right, Bob, thanks for that. Think I'll add a little cream to that coffee, sour cream, with this article that just came out June 11th. Entitled, Gun Rentals Make Life Easier for Mexican Criminals. And I'll paraphrase a bit. It says, criminals in Mexico City are increasingly able to rent weapons, use them to commit crimes, and then return them, confounding Mexican authorities who have often relied on gun tracing as part of their crime-fighting efforts. Over the last month, it's come to light that numerous types of firearms can be rented for periods as short as one day in the Mexican capital. It says smaller weapons such as 22s or 25 caliber handguns can be rented for as little as 800 pesos a day, around $40, with a 38 revolver costing 1800 pesos, around $90 a day. Then you've got AR-15 semi-automatic rifles that can be rented quite easily too. It says weapons come from either the U.S., the Mexican Defense Ministry, or the cops. It says here, according to one Mexico City cop in the trade, who chose to remain anonymous, I wonder why, says many cops rent out their guns. It's a way to make extra money since they're paid such low wages. He says they don't rent out their own guns. They have serial numbers on them. They rent out guns collected from criminal raids with the serial numbers removed. Then it says, according to a legal gun dealer, only identified as Esteban, he readily admitted a criminal connection, owning 11 handguns and 2 assault rifles he rents in the morning for between 500 and 3,000 pesos each, between 25 and 150 bucks, and has them returned every evening. He says they're probably used to hold up buses, rob shops, or even kill. He says, for me, I don't care how they use them as long as I get paid. Oh, and he says other criminal groups in Mexico are now using plumas pistolas. Those are one-shot guns disguised as pens. Meanwhile, Mexico's murder and homicide rate are the highest ever recorded. That in a country that has some of the strictest gun control laws. All right, B. Johnny here. You might recall it's almost impossible for a gringo or an expat to own a gun legally in Mexico. But according to this article, you can rent one for a day from a cop. So you still want to live in Mexico, huh? Good luck with that. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!